Gospel of Mark is the earliest writing that the church recognizes as gospel. It's short, and as you might have noticed from today's reading, not so sweet, kind of raw and abrupt. And I like Mark. There's an urgency in Mark that speaks to me. The story of Jesus that Mark lays out is beautiful and spare. It kind of reminds me of this incredible place where we live, where some of us are fortunate enough to live, and some of us are fortunate enough to visit. Mark's story of Jesus' brief life here on earth has all the stark majesty of those mountains and all of the twists and turns of a wilderness trail. And the story is as unexpected and unpredictable as the weather in the Northern Rockies. You might want to take a raincoat when you hike in the Tetons. Even if the day starts off sunny and warm, you could get caught in a thunderstorm and get soaked. Better take some food and water with you too, because you might be out there longer than you expect. And that's just how Mark is. You never know for sure what to expect next, but you can bet that it'll probably blow your mind. I mean, just look at today's reading. It has as many twists and turns as the trail up Cascade Canyon. On the trail up to Inspiration Point, there's a new view of the landscape at every turn. And that's just what Mark gives us in this reading today, a new view of the moral landscape at every turn. First, we hear John come to Jesus, and John is speaking on behalf of the other disciples. And John comes complaining about someone outside of their circle who is healing people in Jesus' name. The nerve, right? I mean, someone who isn't a member of the inner circle doing the work of God, healing people. I hate to say it. No, actually, I'm kind of happy to say it because it's true. The disciples here are acting like entitled, spoiled children who are afraid that their privilege is about to be taken away from them. If just anybody can claim the power of God in Jesus' name, well, that's more than a little threatening to those disciples and perhaps also to us today, within the church and outside the church, who are counting on our status as insiders to pave the way for us. And they're also tattletales. And as we all know from grade school, nobody likes a tattletale. And especially in this case, Jesus, because he tells them, look, slow down, don't sweat it. Those who are speaking God's truth, healing people in my name, are not doing anything wrong. In fact, they're on our side. And then we get that great line, whoever isn't against us is for us. They're doing good work. Let them be. And then the story, like our trail up to Inspiration Point, takes a bend. And we're traveling along and we get a little different perspective on the same view. Because Jesus tells us that just letting the other one be, just minding our own business, letting the others do their thing, isn't enough to further God's kingdom, God's plan for the world. We must be sure never to put any obstacles in others' paths. We aren't to set up a stumbling block, a tripper, for anyone doing God's work, spreading God's love. So far, so good. I think we can all get behind that in theory. But what about in practice? Here's where the story that Jesus told his closest friends and followers hits a switchback, and all of a sudden it takes a hard turn into a whole new landscape. Suddenly, seeming out of nowhere, the terrain gets really treacherous. We may not even want to go there. Jesus recognizes that we human beings, fallible, prone to mistake, always a little or more than a little protective of our own self-interest, tempted to work for our own good over the good of others, we just might put a stumbling block in front of others and claim innocence. Sometimes these claims come with self-righteousness, bluster, and yelling. And Jesus turns us towards truth and healing. And here's where the going gets tough. Here's what Jesus says. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. So do you think Jesus is advocating drowning and self-mutilation here? Well, I don't think so. I think Jesus was using this vivid, hyperbolic language to turn us away from theoretical thinking, to turn us away from just the mere thought that whoever is not against us is for us, and turn us to the real-life consequences of behaving like privileged, spoiled children in the world. Now, I'm not about to judge anybody. I can't speak for you all. I can't see into your hearts, but I can speak for myself. And I know that on a good day, I'm willing to go the extra mile and do whatever I can do to help, love, and heal my neighbor. I also know that I don't always have a good day. In fact, I've had some pretty bad days. I've had days when the works of my hands have gone terribly wrong, and I've done more harm than good. And I've hurt other people because I was only working for my own selfish interests. These hands that can do so much good have done some bad things. And these feet have led me astray. More than once, they've taken me places where I had no business going. But to say that is really kind of a cop-out, isn't it? Because my feet don't take me anywhere that my mind doesn't want them to go. I stumble and I fall when I'm moving towards self-satisfaction and gain, when I put my needs first and decide to go there. And I've had days when my vision has seemed faulty, when it seemed like I couldn't see the right thing to do. And so I blindly push forward and run roughshod over the other. When my vision is fogged by my own selfishness and self-righteousness, I might as well be blind in one eye. No, I might as well be blind in both eyes, because when my vision is self-directed, I can't see the way before me. The way to love, the way to healing, the way to real human connection in the world. I actually blind myself sometimes, and we all know how hard it is to find the trail when we cannot see clearly. Jesus is not advocating that we maim ourselves in this passage today. He is describing the way that we are already limited and hurt, and yes, the ways that we maim ourselves when we hurt others, even when we hurt others by simply making their lives harder, by setting up obstacles between them and God's love. Jesus is telling us that it's like living in hell right here on earth when we make life difficult for others. So this short, not-so-sweet story from Mark takes one last turn, and then we're headed home. After all the fire and the brimstone, the unquenchable fire and the worm that never sleeps, Jesus tells us that we don't have to live this way. We have what it takes to turn around and see things in a new light. We, as children of God, created in God's image, have the salt of God inside of us. We have the power to be God's loving hands, to work for the good of all, God's feet in the world, to go where love and healing are needed, to be God's life, to be God's eyes in the world, to see where we can go to do the most good, or anyway, at least the least harm. Jesus promises that everyone will be salted, that God's love is always available to us as long as we are willing to spread it. Have salt in yourself, Jesus says, and be at peace with one another. Amen.